Welcome to Back to School here at Coldwater. This is day three already. It goes by so quick. Thank you to TNT Auto, Sweetman Construction, Rich Plumbing, along with Cal Pharmacy. As Lee said, Jenny Alec and several of her runners are here on behalf of Girls Cross Country. Jenny, good to see you. Thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me.
So would I be right in saying that a day like today is like the best weather you could hope for doing running? This is really good today.
You would be correct, yes. We like days like this.
Yeah, cloudy and not too hot, but not too cold either.
Correct, right? Yep, this is perfect.
Although I imagine cold is probably easier to work with than excessive heat, right?
That would be true, yes.
Yep. All right. See, I do pay attention when I interview running coaches. So
yes.
If you would share with us a bit about your background, tell us where you came from originally and how you got into education and coaching cross country.
Okay. Well, I am originally from Bakken's. I married my husband, who is from Coldwater. I started coaching, actually, junior high track. This was my 10th year this past spring, and that kind of led me to coaching cross country, and it has been a blast.
All right. Now, to remind people, too, how cross country, you know, differs from track running is you get courses, and it's literally just that. You run across paths and, you know, rocks, lawn, anything that happens, you know, jump over a body of water if you have to. Your courses are varied and very different.
Yes, they are. You know, in track, every track is the same, same distance, same level. With cross country, it's very different. You get different courses, rocky, grassy, sandy in some courses. And so cross country comes with its unique challenges, and that's just every course is a little bit different.
And occasionally a little incline, I imagine.
Yes.
Right?
Oh, yes.
You never know.
You never know.
Now, for you, you have brought with you several of your runners with you. So let's meet our first runner. Can you tell us your name and what grade you're in?
I'm Eve Lisi. I am a senior.
All right, Eve, how long have you been running cross country?
I've been running cross country for 6 years, but I've been running mostly my whole life.
What got you into running?
So my dad actually coached before Coach Alec came along, and he coached for many years, and he kind of got me into it, but then I just kind of found a love for it.
I was going to say, as the descendant of a running coach, I'm sure some of this was planned, as in you will run, right?
Kind of, yeah.
Kind of. For you, talk about, if you would, some of the highlights of your many years of running cross country.
So there has been so many highlights of running, especially this year. We just have a really good team this year. Just being able to, we just bonded. We just click very, very well. We have had immense growth just in this past year. I mean, we have brought home like 5 trophies this year alone. We have districts this upcoming weekend, and we're aiming to get runner-up, which is very exciting. Over my last 6 years, it's just been, there's been ups and there's been downs, but always through and through, cross country has always pulled through for me, for sure.
Where are some of the really neat places you've been able to run at, some of the cities, etc.?
One of my favorite courses probably is our home course. I really like our home course, but this past year we went to go to the Troy Twilight Meet, which is in Troy. You run at night, so you run at like 9 p.m. instead of running at our regular like 9:30 a.m. It's a very cool meet. It's very weird because there's no depth perception, especially when it's dark. But it was a very cool course to run at, especially. And then I really like whenever we run at Spencerville. Spencerville's a very cool course, too.
All right. And when running, you know, I'm sure, obviously, to be safe, you are trying, obviously, stay on your feet, not trip. And
yes.
That's probably not as easy as it sounds, right? Because the course changes.
Mm-hmm. It does. It's just very much a strategy, like making sure you know the course, like inside and out, knowing where those bumps and those grooves are in the course, knowing if you should stay on the outside of this curve or the inside of this one. It's very much a learning strategy, trying to find your groove on the course, especially for running for 6 years. I pretty much have most of my courses that I've run pretty much down. I know the insides and out of most of them. So it's pretty much just, for any new runners, it's just a learning curve.
So how many pairs of shoes do you own?
I usually do about whenever I ran track, it was like 2 a year. So probably I have around 10 pairs of shoes that I've went through in the past 6 years.
I believe this because, you know, people would have to know, like a race car driver, how many times do they have to change the tires, right?
Yeah.
There you go. And for you, when you're done with high school, what are your future plans?
I plan on going to college and getting a degree in biology with a minor in psychology, and I want to be in a pre-professional program to become a physician's assistant.
And in your spare time, you'll probably still be running, right?
Oh, yes.
Good for you. Nice to meet you.
Thank you
so much. Let's keep going and keep meeting Coach Alex runners. We'll give them a chance here to switch and get into place. And so, hi there. Tell us your name. What grade are you in?
Hi, I'm Audrey Alec, and I am a junior this year.
And you are a junior. All right. Any relation to the Alec family, of course, as I joke around?
Yeah, she's my mom.
All right. Excellent. That's cool. It's really neat to get to do that. And so for you, how long have you been running, and what got you into it?
I've been running for almost as long as I can remember. I have a second cousin that's older than me that I used to run with her every now and then during her cool-down runs. But she just kind of got me hooked on it, like, at the age of, like, 8 years old, I think. And I've just been running ever since.
Excellent. You know, for you, I'm sure it's really cool having your mom for a coach, right? It's different, I'm sure, but it just talk about some great time together, though, right?
Absolutely. I mean, after almost every cross-country race, we always sit down together, and we go through, like, everyone's splits and, like, how everyone did. And that's just really cool, just being able to spend that time with her and get close to her that way.
What are some of the highlights, some of the most fun when you look back on your time running?
Honestly, usually just times with my team. I mean, they are what makes running and cross-country fun. Just having all those, like, inside jokes or those fun memories, just thinking about those. That's what makes cross-country really great.
And for you, what are your future plans one day?
I'm hoping to go into education, high school education for math. And I'm also looking to run in college.
And I'm sure someday maybe we'll find out that you're coaching cross country at some school somewhere.
That's
right?
The plan.
You never know. That's really neat. Thank you. Good to meet you. We have another person we're going to meet here and give her a chance to settle in here. And wanted to say hi first of all. Tell us your name and what grade you're in.
My name's Brian Mathewson. I'm a junior.
Excellent. All right. So when did you start running, and what do you like most about it?
I started running in eighth grade, and I just love the team and getting to know different people.
All right. Now, for you, let's talk about practice. I mean, I'm sure you don't want to overdo it, but I'm sure you do some things, you know, to stay in shape before a run, right?
Yep. We have our hard days, and then there are also easier days. Kind of depends on the day of the week.
And also, you know, let's talk about kind of like where you are in the season right now. Like, when does the running season take place?
We are heading into districts, and then after that we'll have hopefully 2 more weeks, but depends on how far we get.
All right. And when you think back on it, I mean, how far have you gone? Like, what are some memories of kind of running in state and all that?
Last year we made it to districts as a team, and that was so much fun. Just getting to go all the way get there with the team.
All right. I appreciate that. Now, when you're done with school, what are your future plans?
I'm not totally sure yet. Definitely something medical, but so definitely college, but I'm not too sure past that.
Do you go to TriStar?
I don't. Not.
Okay. I was going to say, I know they have some medical type of programs, but I'm sure you'll get where you're going, right?
Yes, thank you.
And, Coach, you know, for you, let's also talk about that for your runners. I'm sure there are certainly some things you tell them to do, right, as far as some exercise, nutrition, that sort of thing, right?
Absolutely. And, in fact, one of the themes that we hear quite a bit at practice is do all the easy things. Because getting your sleep, that's easy to do. Drinking enough water, that's easy. Eating all the calories that you need, that's easy. Compared to doing mile repeats, those are the easy things. If you do the easy things, the harder things will be easier. So that's one theme that we really talk about, and it goes a long way.
And are there certain foods that are what we would call runner-friendly? Like, I've noticed when we've covered marathons at the end, they always have water, bananas, yogurt is usually waiting for people, right?
Yes. Carbs are friends to runners. Carbs are energy, and so I always stress to the girls, when you're done practicing, eat those carbs and the protein to help build the muscle. So We definitely stress getting those good calories in.
I like that idea. Next time I want to reach for another plate of spaghetti, I'm going to say, I need my energy. Okay,
Come on now.
Yeah. obviously, moderation, right?
Yes, that would be true.
Because I'm sure there's also some things you probably tell your runners not to do or limit, right?
Yes, absolutely. Any kind of processed foods, carbonated drinks, those are going to upset your stomach and not going to feel the greatest if you're out for a run later that day.
That's a thing that we were talking about, that if you find yourself, you know, thirsty as an athlete, I know probably nothing, you know, tastes better than a bottle of pop or a Coke Zero or something. And boy, does that hit the spot, but you're still kind of thirsty afterwards. Yeah. It doesn't do what water does, right?
Correct, yes. The water is the key for the athletes. You know, it helps them sweat and yeah, that's one of our best tools is to stay hydrated.
Do you also remind them, too, about what I would call the folly of sports drinks? Because it sounds like such a great idea until you read the label, right?
Correct,
sometimes?
Yeah. And it depends on when you have these drinks. You know, whenever you're replenishing after a workout or a race, those sugars are good for you, but definitely not too much and at the right times.
That's what that's about.
Yeah.
So, all right. Yeah, I tell you what, it's certainly really great to meet, I'll say, the Alec family that we did. How many kids you and Aaron have?
We have 8 kids all together.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yes.
That's awesome. Yes. Ranging in age from?
16 to 3.
Three. Is that the 3-year-old that
that's
we see
the 3-year-old,
right over
yep.
there? I tell you, he's having a good time here.
He's used to this.
I wonder if he knows that it's a square pizza day here in the cafeteria.
He's probably missing out right now.
I bet so. I want to thank you and also, you know, and certainly thanks to Aaron and your daughter for talking with us. A lot of fun to get to meet an education family, a sports family, if
yes,
you would. And,
absolutely.
I think it really contributes to the theme that we've had pretty much all week where we talk about what a family vibe you get here when you come to school.
Yes, absolutely. Our kids know sports kind of in and out. That's kind of our thing. And sports really shape a person and their personality and who they become as an adult. And so the lessons that our kids learn through sports, I think, is going to shape them into the adults we'd like to see them someday.
It's so true. How many sports euphemisms do we use, right, when we say, hey, come on, it's the fourth quarter, let's go.
Right.
Or, you know,
right.
we do that a lot. So
yes.
Sports is life, whether people want to admit it or not.
Yeah.
Excellent. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Hey,
welcome. It's back to school here at Coldwater. Thank you to Lovitz Jewelry, Hogan Camp Funeral Home, Rich Plumbing, and TNT Auto as we're going to talk girls golf. We have a couple of students here. We did want to say Coach Burnett was not able to make it, but a couple of his players have very nicely come by to talk to us. And well, thanks for coming. Good to see you.
Good to see you, too. Yeah, nice to meet you.
Let's talk about also, share with us first, what's your name and tell us what grade you're in?
My name's Ella Kaiser, and I'm a senior this year.
All right, Ella, and so how long have you been playing golf?
I've been doing golf since my sophomore year.
All right, what got you into golf, you know, to begin with?
I was looking for, like, a nice laid-back sport that wasn't stressful, friendly. My dad actually kind of convinced me to do it because he's pretty good at golf, and he said that it was something I could do for the rest of my life, and he could help me practice, and I'd have a lot of fun.
That's true. You know, we were saying, just yesterday that we certainly hear about the senior circuit, right, for the PGA.
Mm-hmm.
Not really a senior circuit for hockey or football, right?
No.
You kind of have to stop at some point. So prior to playing, were you much of a golf fan? Did you know the rules and that sort of thing?
No, I didn't. I joined, like, the first week of practice. We had 1 week of practice, then we went right into the season. So I kind of had to learn quickly. But I had a good coach that taught us all the rules, and we were pretty prepared in that week.
That actually sounds pretty fun and brave to volunteer to get into a sport that you're not totally sure how to play.
Yeah,
right?
It was a little intimidating at first, but
how many golf clubs do you need when you go to do a round?
Oh, I don't know. I think I have around 9.
Not 9. Okay.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people don't know. I mean, you have a driver,
yep,
right?
A driver,
a putter,
mm-hmm.
and when you tee off, maybe talk about that. Like what the objective is. I know it'd be nice to get a hole in one, but you're really just trying to set yourself up.
Yeah.
Right?
After I tee off, I usually aim for the center of the fairway, and just if I can get it there, then that's a good spot usually for my next hit.
Let it go from there. Right?
Yep.
I'm sure. Also, I've heard golfers that have said that as soon as you hit the ball, you have a pretty good idea of how you did and where it's going to go,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's very true.
I know you probably have seen this, too, where somebody will tee off and right away they'll say something that's not very nice because they know what happened there, right?
Usually if it's going towards, like, sand or water or a tree, then, you know, like,
wasn't a very good hit, but.
And of course, they make you play out of the sand trap, don't they?
Yes, they do.
It'd be more fun if they made you go in the water, I suppose, right? Actually, no. I always come up with bad ideas like that. For you, talk with us about, I'm sure there were some early frustrations, but what was it like when your game started to take shape and you had some success?
When it would like take shape and I'd have success, it usually gave me like a good positive mindset. I feel like a good mindset is everything in golf. If you like start getting down on yourself and like convince yourself that the game's going bad, then it usually does. So whenever you have like a first few good holes, I think that usually sets you up for a better success the second half.
Okay, let's hold on. We're gonna stand it up, right? Yeah, we can do that. Okay, got that. And we're just working on some technical stuff here. And let's talk about, as we're talking with our golfers, you know, let's also hear about, obviously, the score and there's par. What's the best game you've ever had?
My best game is probably around 50.
Good for you. Where are some of the places you've been able to go, you know, when you have golf?
We've been to several different courses. Our home course is at the Elks. And we've had most of our matches there, like around half this year, which is very nice because that's where we practice at. So we've had the most experience there. We've also played at the Lynx, Stillwater, Northmore,
Moose Landing.
Kaleida, Moose Landing, yeah.
Do you have any favorite courses?
I'd say the Elks is probably my favorite, just because that's where we practice at. So I have the most like practice at those holes.
Do you ever practice on the simulator?
I haven't. My dad actually wants to put one in our garage, so that would be pretty helpful.
Golf is life, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, do you have any favorite golfers, like any of the pros that are favorites of yours?
I don't really watch it too much on TV, so I don't really know of any. But yeah.
That's one that, you know, it is sometimes hard to follow on television.
Yeah.
You know, it's... It's pretty neat if you have a big enough screen. The green looks pretty and all that, but you're right. Sometimes it's hard to follow. So, when you're done, you know, with school, what are some future plans for yourself? What would you like to do next?
I'm planning on going to college. I have a few in mind right now. I've applied to around three. I'm not sure which one yet, and I'm thinking about going into education. So probably being like an elementary school teacher is my plan right now.
Good for you. What made you decide to be a teacher?
I think I like what a teacher does. I like how they deal with kids. I like all their days off. And I think just the schedule, I'd enjoy getting my classroom organized and everything that goes along with that.
Very nice. Have you thought about where you might want to go to school?
I'm kind of thinking about the Lake Campus, Bowling Green. And those are my top two right now.
Excellent. Good for you. All right. Let's meet. Tell us your name. Okay. What grade are you in?
I'm Madison Runs, and I'm a senior as well.
Madison, how long have you been playing golf?
I started my freshman year, so 4 years already.
All right. From now to when you were a freshman, how have you improved? I bet it's been pretty dramatic.
Yeah,
right?
It has been pretty dramatic. Freshman year was just about getting down the fundamentals and like learning to just hit the ball every time. So now like I can really like plan out my shots better, and it's made a big improvement.
For the practice, I'm sure that's another thing too, because this doesn't just happen, right? I mean, how often do you practice?
So we did practice when we didn't have matches, but we have matches about 3 times a week, so we were only practicing once or twice a week. But then on the summer, it's really just about getting out there consistently, and I tried to get out there around twice a week just to keep myself intact.
Have you ever had where you're practicing and you make a shot and you think, gosh, I wish this was in a match?
Yes. Yep.
And then probably sometimes when you think, boy, I'm glad this isn't, I'm glad nobody saw that, right?
Yeah. Yep.
But I'm sure that's also part of it, right?
Yeah. You have good shots, you have bad shots.
And for you, if you have like one bad hole or something, you pretty much just have to shake that off, right?
Yeah. It's more of a mental game, I would say, than anything, and staying positive and not letting the last hole get you down and just trying to keep going forward.
Imagine the opposite may also be true, where you're doing great so far, but you better not let off the gas, because maybe those last couple holes can really wreck you, right?
Yep. I'm always cautious. I don't like to count my score up before I end my round. Otherwise, I'm going to get in my head, and it's not going to work out those last couple holes.
And also, you know, when you are done with school, what are some of your future plans for you? What are your career goals someday?
I'm thinking to go on a pre-med track. possibly in health sciences as my major, and then to college, of course. And then I'm debating between a couple of schools right now, just like Ella, but I did really like University of Dayton and the Ohio State University.
All right. And, you know, those are, I don't think that the distance is that different, right? I mean, when you think about it, so... That'll be something where you could probably visit both campuses. And
yes, I visited them both already. Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Probably a hard choice, right? I don't know.
Yeah.
It's two pretty good cities. I'd have to say maybe there's a little more to do in Columbus, You know, you'll make the best decision for yourself. Do you think you'll always play golf? Is that something you're always going to want to do?
Yes. Once I got into golf, it really became a family activity. My dad's been into golf for years, so have my grandparents. But then as I got into it, so did my mom and my sisters, and now we go out as a family. And, yeah, I don't see that stopping anytime soon.
If we could, grant you the opportunity to play at any course you wanted, what would you pick?
My dad went to this place called Bandon Dunes in Oregon, which is kind of like a golf resort out there, and he went last year, and it was really beautiful, and I think that would be really cool to go to on the ocean.
I got to be fair. How about you? What would be your dream course to play on?
I'd probably say one of the courses that the pros play at.
Yeah.
I think they look really pretty on TV, so I feel like it'd be even better in person.
Let's all meet at Augusta's. How about that, right? Play a few rounds, see if we can qualify.
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to work, but fun to try. For you, do you ever, like, when you do, practicing, I know you tried to go to the course. Do you ever use a simulator or go to the range, that kind of
stuff?
Yes.
I have a simulator in my basement and a putting green, so I use that at home whenever it's convenient, and then going out to the range as well.
How accurate are those simulators? Because I've watched people do them, and it's like, my goodness, this sure looks amazing, really.
No, I don't use it that often. I feel like it gives a good gauge. I just think it depends on probably like the system that you use.
Understandable. Listen, I want to, sincerely, thank both of you for being on. And how many are on your team, by the way?
I think it was 13 this year. Yeah.
13.
Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty neat. So, you know, when you have these matches, you're kind of, is it that you average everyone's score? Do you take the best scores? So how does that work?
So we usually play 9-hole matches, and you play 6 girls, and then you take your top 4 scores, and then that's the total against the other team's total.
All right. You know, when you look at it that way, that's not so complicated, right?
No.
And sometimes if you win the match, but it wasn't exactly the best day you've ever had, you probably don't feel as bad, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's all part of it, right? So. Again, thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
Good to catch up with you. I want to take a moment, and I want to thank TNT Auto, Schmiedemann Construction, Rich Plumbing, Inuit Interior Touch, Hogan Camp Funeral Home, and Cal Pharmacy as we continue on 96.7 The Wave. Welcome here. We are live at Coldwater Schools. Thank you to Lavix Jewelry, Race for Duration, Cal Pharmacy, Rich Plumbing, and Schmiedemann Construction as we are in the lunchroom, which I think everybody that tunes in can figure that one out, right? Good to have all of you with us. Corey Klinke is with us. We're going to talk baseball with Coach Klinke. Good to see you. Thanks for coming.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Share with us a bit about your background, where you came from originally, and what got you into coaching baseball.
Yeah, I'm a Coldwater alum, played here, graduated from here, and then played baseball at the college level at Miami University down in Oxford, following graduation from here from high school. I was blessed to have a lot of great coaches here, not only in baseball with Coach Harlemer and Coach Hemmelgarn, but obviously football world with Coach Reed then, Coach Otten now. And we're still surrounded by some great, great coaches that I get to coach alongside now. So lots of influential people in my life through the education world and through the coaching world that really got me back into wanting to be a teacher and a coach.
And for you, talk with us a bit about how the team has done, under your tenure. I'm sure you've got some great highlights and good memories, right?
Yeah, we've, since taking over after the passing of Coach Harlemer, just trying to, hold the torch up there high standard like, Coach Lou before him and And then Coach Harlemert, you know, was able to continue to build. We're just trying to continue to build off of that. And three seasons now, it's gone by fast. Three seasons now, we've been able to have some good success still. Lost in a district finals back in 2023. We lost in the regional finals. And then last year, we lost in the state semis to the eventual Wayndale state champions. So
I know it's never easy to go all that way and lose, but I'm sure sometimes when you lose to the eventual champions, that's kind of a moment where you say, okay, they're really good, and that's the level we're going to try to get to.
Yeah, absolutely. They had a great team. You know, and baseball's hard because pitchers, you know, if you got one dominant pitcher in high school baseball, tournament time, it's not a three-game, five-game, seven-game series like they play in the MLB. So you gotta make it count, that one game you get of each round of tournament playoffs. So, yeah, I mean, losing to the champs makes it a little bit, I guess, per se easier, but also at the same time you're like, gosh, we were so close. If we could have got them, maybe that could have been us.
That's true. And it's and I guess the one thing that we always appreciate in baseball, and we know it too, there is always next year, right? It's a great sport that renews every spring, and you know you'll be back at it again.
Absolutely. There's always next year, and during the season, it's one of those sports where you don't have too much time to dwell on your performance because you're playing just about every night of the week. So you got to figure out things, either maintain what you're doing well or figure out how to fix the things you're not doing well quickly.
Yeah, it's kind of certainly a game that humbles you. We always like to bring up that, you know, gosh, if you for every 10 times you bat, if you're out 7 times, we say you're a pretty good player. You're hitting 300.
Yeah, that's definitely, it's crazy. You can fail 7 out of 10 times and still be considered, you know, in the pros, almost a Hall of Famer at 300 hitter, you know. So, it definitely tests the mental side of one's mentality.
And I'm sure, you know, sometimes, you work with your players, you encourage them, you know, in terms of, you know, we're going to work on your swing a little bit. You know, we're going to work on this pitch because I've noticed that curveballs eat you up, and we're going to talk about, you know, starting to make better decisions, I imagine, right?
Yeah, it's, again, it goes back to testing your mental strength as well as your physical strength, because it is a long season, a lot of games, so it can break you down that way physically, but mentally for sure. You know, and the coaching staff that, you know, I was able to play for, and the coaching staff with Coach Aaron Harlemer and Coach Jack Hemmelgarn up with me at varsity, Coach Holubic at JV, and Coach Brosher at our freshman level, you know, all very good baseball minds. Look out for the kids and the best interest of the kids, but also, yeah, make those in-games and in-season adjustments as quickly as we possibly can so we can have success each and every game.
Also, you know, when people come to try out for the team, do you sometimes tell them, for example, okay, I know you had your heart set on first base, but I think you're really more of an outfielder, you know, where they need to be flexible. Or you might even say, have you ever thought about being a catcher, right?
Yeah. So we haven't had numbers-wise, we haven't really had to have tryouts too much, so pretty much so everyone has made the team over the years, but there's definitely that where you fit in the whole picture. And maybe, like you said, maybe you've been a infielder, middle infielder your whole life getting up to high school, but now with other grades and where you fit in the picture, maybe it's not a middle infielder, maybe it's a corner spot. First or third, or maybe it's an outfield spot, or maybe it's even a DH. But we're blessed with some really good kids around here that are team players and willing to make those adjustments. And we had to make some of those big adjustments this past spring in order to be able to be successful like we were. Guys played in different positions that maybe they've never even played in up until this past year, and they were able to find success in it.
And let's also, you know, it's interesting too that I say if you're right-handed, there's more possibilities. Us lefties, we only had a choice of what, four positions, right? One of those outfield, positions, or first base. That's all we had, yep. You know.
That's it, especially at the high school level. That's it. And then hopefully if you're arm strong enough or if you're crafty enough, you can be a pitcher too.
Yeah, I never worried about that. And I think also how valuable you are when you're a utility person. Where you say, hey, coach, you put me anywhere, I'm going to play, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. The more versatile you are, the better your opportunities are to be able to find the field.
You know, it's also, and I'm a fan of all sports, so I don't want everybody to think that I'm trying to show favorites here, but they're, you know, baseball unique in one way. I mean, you got to, you know, talk about a two-way game. I mean, you're working on how you hit the ball. You're also working on how you feel. I mean, talk about two equally important things that are so very different.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny, when I was in college, I had a couple classmates in college, a couple classes, and they'd be like, so, like, do you guys even practice for baseball? And I just chuckled, and so obviously there's way more to it than they think or what they see. And like you attested to, there's a lot of things in the batting cages with a swing that you need to work on with each individual hitter. And then so many different position groups. You know, yeah, they're outfielders, but the angle of the ball that's coming off the bat and the visual and all that is still different. You can do a lot of drills together for sure, but when you can get the specific of the angles of the ball and the view, backdrop, all that kind of stuff helps with each individual position. And then you move to infielders, and infielders is definitely a lot more a lot different at each individual all four spots than maybe the outfield, because what they need to do, the job they need to do is entirely different.
You know, I was going to add also, how everybody knows their responsibility. Nothing more awesome than a ground ball, the first baseman dives for it, gets up. The pitcher knows to cover first base, right? I mean, and that runner is out, but if the pitcher doesn't know his job, that runner's safe.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's definitely things like that that we practice on a regular basis. Some things you do more talking about than actually being able to drill it and things like that. But, if you've been watching any of the MLB playoffs, there's been a couple big plays that were just kind of mental errors in big situations.
Obviously, you saw the end of the Philadelphia Dodgers series too, didn't you?
I did see that one. Yes. And there was another one the other night with the Brewers and Dodgers.
Yeah.
With a ball out in center field. It's cool. Our players were like, Coach, we talked about those situations. We go over that. So, you know, I'm sure we have our screw-ups and things like that, too.
Course.
But it's definitely a good that the boys recognize that stuff.
Yeah, it's a very human game in that sense, right? We're not computers, and sometimes the ball gets thrown away. But also sometimes, again, when you talk about how you've learned the game, that a wild throw to first base may not be a problem if somebody's backing it up.
Absolutely.
Right?
Everyone's got a place to be for every single situation, every single play. And as you said, you know, physical errors, they're definitely going to happen. Mental errors sometimes, but hopefully we can minimize those mental errors.
Even the pros do it where there's two outs and somebody's trying to leave the field. You're like, where are you going, Junior? There's three outs.
And again,
not two, right?
It's a long season and a lot of games, so sometimes
you're right.
your mental side just goes by the wayside and you just need a little break. And in the middle of the season, you don't get those breaks.
No, you don't. And for you, if you're not coaching baseball, you're watching, do you have a favorite team?
I enjoy watching a lot of teams. Being Ohio here, I enjoy watching the Reds for sure. But I'm more of I enjoy watching players and how teams go about their business, probably more than anything.
That's funny you mentioned it. I mean, growing up in Detroit, we were all about the Tigers and and had things to say about the Yankees that were not always very nice, but I will tell you this much. I love Reggie Jackson, all of their legends, and I get where you're coming from, where you may not be a fan of a team at all, but there's one player that you watched who was absolutely glorious.
Absolutely. There's plenty of them in the league that and they might not even be the so-called MVPs or best players of the league, but I enjoy just how they go about their business and playing hard each and every day.
That's certainly what it's all about, and I'm sure also you prepare them for that moment, you know, where it may be that time that we've seen it where the superstar slugger strikes out when you need a clutch hit, whereas your number nine hitter that bats 200 comes through with that big hit. You know, that's baseball, right?
That's why it's still a team sport in the end. You know, everyone can pick one another up, because even your best players are going to have their down games, and you need someone to come through.
And I suppose in that sense, it never really does come down to one play, does it? Like, even where that poor guy in Philadelphia that made the error. But you know what? If y'all had scored more runs, you wouldn't have been in that position, right? It's not that, right?
Absolutely. And the timing of it, you know, if it had been maybe in the first couple innings, it probably wouldn't have been as big of a deal, or maybe even talked about or viewed a lot differently. But because of the situation, that's what happens sometimes.
Yeah, that's how it goes, right? It makes the game fun, you know, where you... A ground ball is hit, and you think, well, my team just blew another chance at a big rally, but the ball gets thrown away, and you're like, hey, how about that, right? So it can be a lot of fun. Of course, if you're the team in the field, that's not so fun.
No,
like,
it's
what
not.
What are you doing,
yeah,
right?
There's definitely a lot of ups and downs that happen within a game, for sure.
That's no question there. And very good to see you. Always fun to talk some baseball.
Thanks, Kevin.
You got it. I want to thank also Race Refrigeration. I want to thank Lavish Jewelry, Cal Pharmacy, Rich Plumbing, and Hogan Camp Funeral Home. A quick break, and we're going to talk about the FFA. That's what's next here on 96.7 The Wave. Hey, we are doing Back to School here at Coldwater. I'm Kevin Sandler. I want to thank Race Refrigeration, Mixed Sports, and Ernst Apparel, along with Claymore Lanes and Adventure Golf. The topic of conversation is the FFA, a proud organization that's very, very active and very, you know, flourishes here in our local community. And we have a couple members of the Coldwater FFA on right now. Share with us, what's your name? What grade are you in?
I'm Madeline. I'm a senior, and I'm the FFA president.
All right. President Madeline is who we're talking. How long have you been involved in FFA?
Since freshman year.
What got you into it?
I've always, like, loved and, like, appreciated agriculture, and I don't want to say all my friends were doing it, but some of my friends were doing it, and I looked forward to doing it, as well as my brother was in it.
Had any other members of your family been in it?
Yeah, so my brother was in it, my grandpa did it when he was younger, so it's always been something that's in our family.
All right. When you look back at some of the things you've gotten to do in the FFA, some of the trips and what have you, what do you remember?
I really loved National Convention our freshman year. We go to Indianapolis, and they have a convention. We did a tour of a couple of places. We went to a brewery, so that was really cool. I loved going to see that. And we do a lot of fun things. We went to a concert. We went to a Lainey Wilson concert on that trip, so that was really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those should know, when you go to Indianapolis, they usually have somebody perform, right?
Yeah, there's usually a concert or a rodeo.
You have to think about it. You're at Lucas Oil Stadium. You might as well have a concert
there,
right?
Oh, yeah, yes.
I mean, it works, right?
Yes.
That's pretty neat.
Yeah.
And how did you get to be president? Was that something you always wanted to do? Or?
So I never really thought about it till sophomore year. I was like, oh, maybe I'll try out to be an officer. And so my junior year, I was the treasurer of the FFA. So then this year, I was like, I'm going to be a senior. Might as well try to be the president. So that's what I did.
That worked out.
Yeah, it did.
Right. And what's neat is you don't know what's going to happen if you don't try.
Yes,
right?
Definitely.
And for you, what's next after high school? What are you planning?
So I'm planning on going to, I want to go to University of Dayton for civil engineering. So if I don't get into Dayton, maybe Cincy then.
I'm sure one of those schools will be very happy to have
it. Yes.
So pretty neat. And both of them not even that far apart.
No, they're not.
So,
no.
At least we know what general direction of the state you're going
in. I'll be close to home.
That's what it's about. Thank you. Good to see you. And
now
let's share with us our next person. Tell us your name, what grade you're in.
Hi, I'm Madison. I'm a senior, and I'm the FFA Sentinel.
All right, let's first of all talk about one of the easier questions is, what does the Sentinel do?
The Sentinel, so it gets the food for all the meetings. I mean, that's pretty about much it.
That's not a bad job at all, right? Being in charge of the food. I mean, for one thing, people better be nice to you so you'll get what they want to eat, right?
Correct.
Something like that.
Yeah.
What got you into the FFA to begin with?
So both my brothers were both in FFA, and all my families were, and then I just heard great stories about it, and all my friends were doing it, so I just decided to join in with it.
You know, sometimes all my friends are doing it and all the cool people are doing it is actually positive, right?
Yeah.
For you, what are your plans one day when you're done with school?
I really want to do something with kids because I'm really good at it, but I'm not entirely sure. I don't really want to go to college, but, I mean, I still have the time to figure it out.
You do, and you know that the thing is college is great, but it's not for everyone.
Yeah.
Right? And some people have just had 12 years of school. You almost can understand why they're not really in the mood to do four or more.
Correct,
We understand how that happens sometimes. Well, we wish you lots of luck. I'm sure you'll do great.
Thank you.
Thank you. Let's meet our next person. What's your name? What grade are you in?
I'm Paige Ontrop, and I'm a junior.
All right. Paige, a junior. For you, what motivated you to get into FFA?
Like she said earlier, my brothers were big in FFA. My brother served as one of the officer positions, which is really cool. And I've just seen my cousins, everyone go through it, my older friends. They all went through it, and they had a lot of fun with it. I also see them just around the community helping out, which I really enjoy.
All right. For you, what are some of your memories of your time in FFA? Have you gotten to go to Indianapolis, too, and all that?
I have not, just because I've always been busy with sports and everything.
Sure.
It hasn't worked out my schedule. But I went to state convention this year, and it was a lot of fun, learned a lot. I got the Gold Award for our scrapbook, so I got to walk on stage, which was pretty cool. And just overall, memories in FFA, there's too many to count with all of our different FFA activities we do through the year and just everything we participate in.
And, you know, state, that's in Columbus, right?
Yes.
Yeah. What kind of, like, when they take you on the tours, what are some of the places that you get to see? Do you get to see the horseshoe, some things like
that? We went to a rubber factory. We went to the 16-sided barn, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Everything from, like, multi-metal and just basically anything in ag, all the way from things you don't even think about.
Excellent. A lot of things that people don't understand are ag-related industries,
yep.
Right? What are your future plans one day?
Right now, I'm thinking of going in maybe to ag sales. I really like the agriculture community, everything that. I just like to get along with them, and I've always enjoyed talking and being new places.
And we're back here. We're talking with the FFA. We're going to just start one more time. Tell us again, you are the vice president,
yes.
Right? And what got you to be the vice president? What made you try out for that?
It started off like freshman year. I got really involved and the leadership was really good and I really wanted to be a part of that and make a difference and make it fun for all the other kids because I know I really enjoyed it being younger in school and I really wanted to make that opportunity for the freshmen and everybody else coming in to join us to make it a blast and a great experience.
You know what's neat? When I think back in my own high school years, I always appreciated the upperclassmen who did everything they can to actually help the freshmen, right?
Yeah, you always want to make them feel included, and you feel so much. School's just a little bit easier when you have a good group to keep or like help you get through it.
For you, if you could share with us, what's next for you after after high school?
After high school, right now my plan is to go into law enforcement. I know it's not extremely ag related, but I really enjoy making a difference.
Sometimes the Mercer County Sheriff's Office has to get cows off the road, so
yeah.
It's sort of ag related, right?
Maybe I'll get involved with that one day.
You never know. What kind of law enforcement? I mean, would you like be like a city cop or
I'd actually like to work for the Mercer County Sheriff's Office. I'd like to be a deputy.
Okay, Doug Timmerman, are you listening? I'll tell you what, have you gotten a chance to do like any explorer type of stuff?
Yeah, I'm actually currently a junior deputy right now, so I'm getting the experience.
I was just about to say for you, for anyone listening, if you have an interest in that, I mean, by all means, call the sheriff. They need people.
Absolutely.
And they'll work with you, right?
Yep, they're amazing to work with. They're super nice.
They are. They're good people. Good to meet you. Appreciate that.
Yep, thank you.
And if you would share with us, please, your name. What grade are you in?
My name is Kenley Segrist, and I'm a junior.
All right, Kenley, for you, how long have you been in FFA? What's your favorite part of it?
This is my third year, and my favorite part is definitely the activities to do with the whole club and with the community because, like, yesterday we did feeding farmers in the field, and it was really neat to go out and give food to all the farmers. So just reacting and, like, with the community.
Excellent. Now, for you, have you had a chance to go to Indianapolis, for example?
Yes, I have.
Was that kind of the longest trip you took by bus, or pretty close?
Yes, it was the longest trip. The seats got a little uncomfortable.
You know what's neat about that is at least it's in Indianapolis. How do these kids in California feel, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
You don't want to know. For you, what are your future plans someday?
My future plans is to go into animal science.
Nice.
I'm not sure which field I want to go into yet, but...
You'll be in school for a while on
that
one, won't you?
Yep.
Have you toured any schools yet?
No, I actually have a trip planned in November to go to Ohio State and Wilmington.
Excellent. Good for you. Thanks again. Good to see you.
Thank you.
All right. We're going to talk to the next person here. Got a young man. What's your name? What grade are you in?
I'm Carter Heitkamp, and I'm a sophomore.
Carter, we've had you on, I think, before, haven't we? Have we met you before here?
I don't think so.
I know. It's good to meet you. And what got you into the FFA?
My family thing. My cousins have all been through it. My parents once, well, I know they didn't have it, but they grew up on a farm. My grandpa owns a farm, and it's just been a family thing.
All right. What are some of your favorite parts of being in FFA so far?
Just the class is fun. Yeah, hang out with your friends outside of school and have fun at the meetings, play cornhole and euchre.
Very nice, yeah. And for you, you got a couple years left, too. Do you ever want to be an officer someday?
I am an officer currently.
You are the?
I'm the reporter.
And the reporter, all right. I tell you what, between being the reporter and being that having that deep voice, you and I got a little bit in common there, so... what are your future plans someday?
I currently don't know yet. Debating between maybe being a teacher and going into the workforce. So.
You've got time yet to figure figure that out. Excellent. Would you recommend that FFA experience to everybody?
Yeah, I would say at least try it 1 year. And if you don't like it, you quit, but most people like it.
And you get that awesome blue jacket, right?
Yep.
You got that right. All right, did we get everybody? I think we did.
Yep.
We got everybody on. I want to thank everybody for coming on. Thanks for your patience. It's really neat when we can interview students because that's what it's all about. Thank you to Lavix Jewelry, Raise for Duration. Thank you to Rich Plumbing, TNT Auto, and Schuderman Construction. We'll take a break and return here on 96.7 The Wave.
You're clear.
It is... back to school here at Coldwater. I want to thank Raise for Duration and McSports. Thank you to Playmore Lanes and Adventure Golf, one of our fine sponsors. We've got Rick Hardings here, does boys and girls bowling. And Rick, thanks for dropping by. It's great to see you again.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's always fun to come up here. It's a little noisy during cafeteria time here, but it's kind of neat to see all these little guys.
Yeah, especially because this is the time of the day that everybody's in a good mood.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's lunchtime,
get their bellies full and just kind of hang out until they have to go back to class.
And pizza day.
Is it really? Yeah, I miss those days.
Me too, I tell you. Share with us, if you would, please, your background and how long you've been in bowling and what got you into bowling to begin with.
Oh, gosh. My parents bought a bowling center when I was in second grade. 1973, we lived in St. Henry, and my parents bought the small bowling center, 8-lane center, usually. It's about right here by the palace next to the administration building. Then we owned that for 3 years, and then we decided to build where we're at now currently in 1976. I was in fifth grade. Then I became a Cavalier. I was a Redskin till fifth grade, and then I started fifth grade here in Coldwater in 76. So I've been bowling my whole life as a little guy at these kids' age. We didn't have bumpers back then, but so I've been around the sport for a long, long time, and it's a passion of ours, mine, and my family's. We're very fortunate to be in a community that really accepts the sport of bowling, especially through the school and the competition and stuff like that. So I've been around it, and then I've been coaching 26 years in the high school program. So my dad kind of was implemented on getting that started back in early 2000s. We talked to the OHSA trying to get that going. It took many years, but we finally in 2007 got that to where OHSA accepted the sport. So that just took the sport to a whole nother level, not just recreational. You know, we have youth programs. We have kids bowling. But to give these kids an opportunity to, compete against other schools in the area, in the state of Ohio, it just made it that much more fun and more competitive. So, been doing it a long time.
Yeah, and this is another one of those sports you can do all your life, right? I mean, people
Absolutely.
Do adults that are in bowling leagues and, you know.
Yeah, that's how we sell it. We sell it to these kids that are coming up the ranks in junior high bowling and high school bowling. And we tell them you can do it your whole life. You can graduate and then, go on to college, come back. You can do it during college or be competitive in college or You just do it when you get older, just like golf. Golf's the same way. You can do it your whole life. It's like if you're a really good football player or basketball, you know, the numbers to advance to go to the college ranks is hard. But, you know, to continue to play basketball on a Wednesday night here at the Palace is different, but not everybody can do that. But our sport's very fortunate, and we kind of promote it as, you know, kids don't sit the bench. You know, we do have some really good bowlers, but we kind of get them all fair playing time as much as possible until it really, really, really counts in the tournament time when you're advancing, trying to win a state title. Then it might get a little bit different, but, you know, we just encourage kids to give it a shot, give it a try, and, you know, so hopefully enjoy it for a long time.
Now, for you, when you look back on your time, you know, coaching, you know, bowling here at Coldwater Boys and Girls, there has been tremendous success. I've almost lost track of how many titles I've seen you all bring back, you know?
Yeah, we're very fortunate. We've got a really good program where they start in Pee Wee League, then they get into the Junior League, and then we have a Major League in the fall right now. But, yeah, these kids start way earlier than they used to back in the day, and they get pretty darn good. Yeah, our girls have 5 state titles, and our boys have 4. So our girls program has come down a little bit in numbers and not as quite as competitive, but I'm really excited about this year. Our numbers are up. Talent-wise, we're going to be way better this year. I think we're going to compete a lot better this year. As far as the boys, you know, we went 5 straight years at the state title and led qualifying, you know, and then we get into that match play, and we lost the first match a few times in round 1. Round 2, we've got beaten, and then we've got beaten the finals, so... And we've got a couple runners up, but we got, like, the last 5 years is a little bit, you know, this year we really want to fix that and go out there and take care of business and, you know, get that number 10 for the school.
That's certainly terrific. Let's also talk about, you know, practice. You know, how often do your bowlers practice?
Yeah, with me being the proprietor and the owner of Playmore Lanes, we do probably practice a little bit more. We let our kids come in and do a little bit on their own, but we do practice a couple days a week. Like our girls program, I coach both teams, so our girls are kind of focused on Monday, Wednesdays, and then our boys are kind of focused on Tuesday, Thursday, but then we do have the girls come back on Thursday and we practice together. That's kind of neat where the girls will practice off the side. We shoot spares. We do different scenarios, just try to get these kids ready to go when it really counts, where they have to make a spare to win a match or to win a state title. And then we kind of mix them together on Thursdays. It's kind of a fun day where we put like a boys JV and a varsity kid and then a girl and then another JV boy. Because our boys' numbers are way up this year, again, like they have for many years, and then we kind of just intermix them, and everybody helps each other out, and it just makes them get better. So a couple days a week.
Yeah, and I'm sure you remind them, like, probably don't overdo it, right? Don't psych yourself out.
Yeah, absolutely. Just try to mentally, you know, get them prepared for some of this stuff. But we have a, you know, wear themselves out. We have a lot of two-handers. You probably see that on TV a lot where some of the better PBA bowlers don't really use their thumb, so we ain't got to worry about kids tearing their thumb up while they're bowling because they don't really use it. So, and that just, those kids are a little, they just have more evolutions and they hook the ball a little bit more, but the equipment these days are just so much more advanced where these kids just, you know, like I said, they're really good. We had 5 boys go to Green Bay, Wisconsin this past summer to Junior Gold, and they all bowled really well, but great experience, and hopefully that'll carry on to this season.
And also, just a question, because I don't get to talk to somebody who's been in bowling their whole life every day. Is there an advantage or disadvantage as to whether, you know, you're right or left-handed? Is there a difference?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's a great question, because we get crap from in our adult leagues. You know, we have left-handers that are really good. We have some high school bowlers that are really good left-handed, but there's less left-handers on the lanes. So there's a lot less traffic on the left side. So we do give our, you know, more in the adult leagues, we give them crap because, you know, they're not moving their feet. They're not moving their eyes or their target on the lane because, you know, there's less traffic. So they don't have to. Us right-handers, we always say, well, we got to move a lot more. We got to change balls. We got to adjust. We got to get deeper. But the left-handers don't like to hear that because they think we're crazy. But it's true. It is true. So
I always wondered about that. Yeah, being a left-handed guy myself probably doesn't surprise you. When I was a kid, I liked watching Earl Anthony.
Absolutely,
he
yeah.
Was left-handed,
yeah. Hall of Fame legend. Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely.
And lefty. But that's all right. I think most of us that are left-handed, we accept that we're a little unique in that regard, and we try to do it anyways,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely, yeah. It's I mean, like I said, we have some really good left-handers. Last year, our bowler of the year in the men's leagues was Brad Fox. He was a left-hander, averaged 214, and had an awesome year. Awesome year.
Have you know, for you, do you still bowl yourself? Are you in any leagues?
Yeah, I bowl in every league, every men's league we have, except for our Thursday night. Every other week beer league, I don't participate in that. It's kind of my night off. But Yeah, I bowl one league on Monday, the only league we have. Last night I bowled also in our one league, and then tonight I'll bowl two shifts. And then tomorrow will be off, and then every other Friday we bowl in our scratch league. Scratch league's a bigger money league, and it's just a little more competitive because it's no handicap. But, yeah, I still feel good. I've had a few surgeries over the year, hip replacements and knees, and had a foot issue. But feeling good, bowling well, and, you know, I've shot a few 700s the last couple weeks, and so I feel like I'm throwing a good. And I do look forward to I work all day, and I go home for an hour or two, and then I go back that night, and I'm there till midnight or later. But if I wouldn't be passionate about it and wouldn't like it, I wouldn't be doing it. But it's just something I've done forever. And it does get longer days when I start coaching. You know, then at 3:05, 3:15, we start coaching, and then we do that for an hour and a half or till 5 o'clock. Then I run home real quick and go right back. So
it seems that if you're coaching bowling, it probably takes patience on your part and an open mind on their part. Right?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. It's I have a couple of really good assistant coaches. Kyle Bruns has been with us like almost 12, 13 years. And I coached them back in the early 2000s. And Wes Steinecker, he helps out as well with the girls' side of things. And I coached him. He graduated in 09 or 08. But they were both really good high school bowlers, and they're very knowledgeable. So they make my job a lot easier, just talking to the kids and, you know, keeping them. You know, we don't have a lot of drama. It's just it's a really good sport, and they seem to enjoy it. And they do bowl a lot in the off season, which makes my job a lot easier. When the season does come around, they're kind of ready to go. That's kind of the nice thing about me. But we've been busy at the bowling alley. I just haven't been being able to help more in the offseason as much as I used to years ago. But we're going to make do, and we're going to try our best when the season rolls around.
You know, also you talk about, you know, how fortunate communities are, you know, to have a local bowling alley. Some people have to drive a ways to get to one. And bowling alley, you know, becomes a hub. I mean, when you go there to bowl, you hang out with your friends, you get something to eat. It's a happening, really.
Yeah, absolutely. We're, like I said, we're very fortunate to be in a community like we are. We get supported by our businesses and just local families that order. Our food business is kind of through the roof, but that's part of our mainstay of our business that keeps us rolling. But to have the bowling alley right down the street where the kids that don't have license can walk there after school, which a lot of them do, that helps out. When you have the schools that don't have a center in their town, they maybe don't get a practice as much because they can't get there. That's the advantage that we have with me being the owner and me letting them. I do charge the kids for practice, but it's not a lot, but they can really take advantage of it and make it very cheap. But that just helps our program and helps our adult leagues. I probably have the percentage, I don't even know, of how many former high school bowlers that bowled in our area, in our conference, or, you know, in the just the surrounding counties that now bowl in our men's and women's adult leagues in the evenings. And if it wasn't for the high school bowling, our leagues would be not as what they are now.
And also, you know, when you work with new bowlers, some of the important things, I'm sure, that are factors we don't always think of. You know, if you have the right kind of shoes, you know, for your, what you're doing, the right ball, right? I mean, you know, it may not be about how much it costs. You might need the right weight, et cetera, right?
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of our kids, even the girls, have, like, multiple bowling balls, like three. Or some of our boys have 8, 10, or 12. And everything does a little bit different. New balls come out, so a lot of our guys will grab a newer ball, stronger, different. Some hook less, some hook more. You play the lane a little bit different with certain balls. If we go to some centers, we know there's not as much oil, a little bit drier, and then our kids know to bring the different equipment. So you're only allowed to really bring 6 balls to a match or to a tournament. So we just got to be smart on that end. Our boys are very knowledgeable. Our girls are really good at knowing what they have. And then I have some pro shop guys that help drill and help, you know, talk to kids about what might be the next ball they need. So we're very fortunate with our guys in the pro shop that can. I used to drill for 35 years, and I haven't really done a lot of it the last 3. But the guys that we have are very knowledgeable, and they really help out on that part of it.
All right. And for you, Rick, have you ever bowled the 300 game yourself?
Yeah, I did. I have 22 of them.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, I had my first one in November 19th, 1989, possibly. I was like 3 or 4 years out of school. That's a very memorable one. And then I have several around the state or country. My biggest one would be in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and on Easter Sunday in 2000, April 23rd, 2000, that was at the Open Championship in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Biggest highlight of my life, but I still get nervous when I run, you know, 8, 9, or 10, and it has been a couple years since I had one, but I look forward to it every time I go out to try to do that. But, you know, that ringing 10-pin on the corner gets in the way every few times, but it's still a challenge, and it's always something to look forward to. And I encourage, I see new people get their first one, And it's so fun. I get nervous for him. So.
I was just going to say, when you were describing this, I'm kind of starting to tense up the way we do when we realize a pitcher's throwing a no-hitter, right? Yeah. And you don't want to say anything, do anything. And as a spectator, that's probably the minutes turn to hours, right?
Absolutely. It's, because we get the cameras out when somebody has the front nine. We'll get the cameras out. I'll get my phone out, or my counter guy will get his camera out. We want to video that and put it on Facebook for people to see and them to remember it. But sometimes we feel like we might jinx them, though, too.
Yeah, that's right. And I don't care what anyone says. Jinx is a thing, right? We know it, don't we?
Yeah, everybody has their – when they get that far, they have their own routines. They try to stay in that routine, don't change nothing up, and try to make it happen. But it's very hard. It's like a hole-in-one. Not very often does it happen.
Nope, and you just appreciate it when it does.
Absolutely.
Rick, always good to talk to you. Thanks for dropping by.
Yep, I appreciate
Continued
it. Thank you,
Kevin. Success to you and Coldwater and to the Plainmoor Lanes. We'll take a break. We're going to come back. Will Hoskins and I, we're going to talk boys basketball and health. It's back to school here in Coldwater. Kevin Sandler, thank you to TNT Auto, Schwederman Construction, Risk Plumbing, Cab Pharmacy, along with McSports and Ernst Apparel, as we are talking with Will Hoskins, boys basketball and a health teacher. Will, good to see you.
Good to see you. Thanks for having me.
Let's hear a bit about your story. Where did you come from originally, and what got you into education?
Yeah, so I am a Fairborn grad, so Dayton area. My dad was in the Air Force for 25 years, so I grew up right next to Wright Pat. My house was, I'd probably throw a baseball to the Nutter Center, if you're familiar with that. So, very different than Coldwater. Much bigger. We had, I think, about 300 kids in my graduating class. So, a lot bigger place, a little different. So, I went to Wright State for college and met my wife, who is a Marion local grad. You know how that is. You go where the wife tells you to go.
You do. That's right, yeah.
And so, she wanted to migrate up this way. We were still in Dayton. She was going to medical school. She was studying anesthesia. Again, I do what she tells me to do. And so job opened up actually at New Bremen. So eventually I got to New Bremen and then to here. And the education thing, I always loved. I worked a lot of summer camps in high school and things like that, and loved being around kids and interacting with kids. And I just felt like I needed their energy in my life. I think it's good for me, you know. And so kind of fell in love and then, you know, led me here.
And let's also, you know, when we talk about, you know, the basketball side of it, what kind of got you into coaching hoops, and how have things gone here at Coldwater with you?
Yeah. So I started, I thought football was going to be my main path. I started coaching, you know, varsity football at 19 years old. I was coaching youth basketball at the time. And then, once I got to New Bremen, I was coaching in Fairborn, then coached a little at Trotwood Madison, boys basketball. And then I went from there to, I don't know if you're familiar with Trotwood Madison, but I went from I went from there to then coaching girls basketball at New Bremen. So couldn't be more night and day places. I just kind of loved basketball. I think you can be a little more interactive. You build better relationships, just smaller rosters. You're with them more often. You know, football, everybody's kind of all over the place. And so that's what kind of led me to basketball. So far this year, it's going great. Nick laid a good foundation down. The culture is great, as it is around here everywhere. So I'm fortunate to step into that. We lost a lot of really, really talented guys last year. So I'm excited to kind of see these next guys step up, see the path they're going to take. I know they're ready to go. You know, some of these guys have waited their turn, you know, behind a really talented class, and now they're ready to kind of show what they can do. I'm very excited for them.
What they say is you don't rebuild, you reload, right?
I hope so. That's the plan.
That's the plan. That is the plan.
You know, we've got a lot of guys that I'm very excited about that have been in the gym really working hard. So, yeah.
That's true. Talk about a team sport. I mean, I know some people say, what do you mean? Superstar driven. Hey, listen, I don't – as great as LeBron is, he doesn't win without some other players out there with him. You know, you can't win one on five.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we've got a lot of very team-oriented guys right now. Our senior group especially is just very – they don't care who gets the accolades. They don't care who scores the points. They just want to win. So
that's what that's about. And also, much as we all love football, I've often said there is something to be said about a packed gym on a Friday night. You know, it's so loud you can't even hear yourself.
You smell the popcorn.
You got
the band playing. And, there's nothing better.
It's a great game.
Yeah.
Basketball
is
a great game.
It is.
And also, you know, I wanted to not leave out what else you do. You're a health teacher and, yep. and how important that is. Not only does it tie into athletics, let's face it, all we have to do is pay attention to the news. And they're constantly talking about we Americans got to work on our diet. Yeah. We got to exercise more. You're doing your part, right?
That's the plan. So, you know, I love health because no offense to some of the other subjects, but some of this stuff you may never use the rest of your life. You know, like I remember I was in some classes that to this day I've never needed to know any of that information. You know, I think health, it's something lifelong you're going to use, whether it's diet, nutrition. You know, for a lot of these teenagers, I'm teaching them about, hey, making sure we get enough sleep, put the screens down, you know, the negative effects it's having on their brains and bodies and, you know, all these different things, you know, the biology, the and it's the social emotional side with the younger. I have fifth and sixth graders. Talking about how to deal with stress, how do we, you know, teaching how we treat each other, just things like that, which are, you know, the emotional health side of things, which I think is just as important.
That's true. If you don't deal with stress, it'll deal with you.
We watched this clip on YouTube, I think, like 2 days ago. That's exactly the quote it ends with. So.
Yeah, that's and you learn sometimes, you know, where you ask somebody, like, how are you doing, and they just explode on you, and you go, okay, bad day, huh? Like, you didn't do anything, right?
Yeah, and that's what we talk to them about, too. Sometimes people are going to have bad days. How do you handle their stress, you know, in your life? So,
another thing, too, I'm sure you teach in moderation. You can't expect them to eat a perfect meal every time, but, hey, you know, are you having dessert every night? Like, let's talk here, right?
Yeah, I'll have days where I'll come in with a Mountain Dew. I need a little caffeine, pick me up, and they'll... Mr. Hoskins, it's okay. Listen, we got to talk moderation. I'm not saying you got to drink water all day, every day. That's not realistic. But just, you know, we watched the movie Super Size Me. You ever heard of that?
Oh, yes.
So we watched that with my high schoolers and just kind of, you know, eat McDonald's for 30 straight days. That is not moderation, right? So that's bad. But if we're doing it once every few weeks, no big deal.
Yeah, again, like you said, and you learn that, too, because also – you got to give yourself a treat so you kind of keep control.
Correct.
Right? You know, and that's, and you learn, I'm sure you probably talk to them about how to build your plate.
Yep.
Right? Big
yep.
thing there.
Yep. Yep. We're talking the different nutrition things we need to make sure we're covered in all of our meals. Our lunches here are incredible. They do a great job of covering all of these things. Like, this is a lot different than the lunch I had growing up. It was like frozen stuff they would just throw in and just feed you right here. It's like this is like real meals. They are very fortunate.
I am with you on that one too. I think it took me 20 years after school before I ever wanted tater tots again.
Yeah, I know. But I mean, it is nutrition. Yes. I saw today they sent out a picture of this, and it's like, man, you got pizza with chocolate milk and pineapples. It's just the random concoction, but they're covering everything.
That's right. Yeah. That's what it's all about. Yeah. So. And that's, again, especially when you get them as young as you do, you're building those good habits, right?
Yes, correct. Yeah, you know, I get fifth grade is the first year I get to see them. So that's a good age. You start building those habits up younger, they're more likely to have it as an adult.
Do you also find, you know, that same battle when we were talking cross-country running, you know, about the importance of water? Water is not as glamorous as some of the other drinks that are out there. And, you got to kind of work with them on that, I'm sure.
Yeah, the hydration. You know, the students here do a really good job. Like, especially if you look around right now, a lot of these kids have these water bottles, and they refill them all day. They drink water all day. You know, it's nice having these dispensers we have. So, you know, the water actually is, they do a pretty good job of it. I'm surprised.
And another thing, too, for those that are listening, and to protect the innocent, I won't name which one, but I had a kid that always used to say, I hate water, you know? So I figured, okay, you know what? You can flavor your water. It's still water.
That's
it's okay, right?
We'll find some ways to work with those people. Yeah.
Yeah, very important on that, too. The sleep thing is another one that, you know, it is said, especially like in our teenage years where we didn't think we needed sleep. We just lived on caffeine and whatever. And obviously, you tell them, hey, that doesn't make you tough doing that, okay? You're gonna pay for that someday.
We do a thing where we will have them track their sleep just for a week, just to see. And it's surprising, I think, to some of them how little sleep they truly are getting, you know? And I'm like, all right, I get it. Friday nights, Saturday nights, maybe a little different. But, you know, those Sunday through Thursdays, we got school the next day. We got to be in bed. We got to get our rest. You know, between that and then the not eating breakfast, that's the other big issue. You know? If you'd eat dinner at 6, you don't have lunch till 11 the next day. You know what I mean? That's what, That's a lot. That's 17 hours without eating. You know, you need that fuel.
And not just that, but doesn't that also encourage, by the time you get to lunch, you're so hungry, you're going to overeat probably.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yep.
That's what that's about. And you're right. You do. It's okay to stay up a little bit later on the weekends,
sure.
Right?
Absolutely.
I don't know about you. Sometimes on a Saturday night, I'm up until about 10 o'clock. So.
See, my problem is I like a lot of West Coast sports teams. You know, I'm a Dodgers fan, a Lakers fan, and some of those games don't kick off till 10:30. So I'll try. Maybe I'll watch a little bit of this, and that's my bad habit.
I have a really good friend who lives in the Western time zone, mm-hmm. and I've often thought about his NFL Sunday that starts at 10 o'clock.
Oh, that's got to be awesome.
College football at 9 in the morning. I thought, man, that is the life.
I just think you like the night game. You know, Monday Night Football, you know, here it's over there, over at 11:30, whatever.
Yes.
There, you're done at 8:30. You get to just relax the rest of the night and go to bed.
Isn't that something? Right?
I know.
And I always thought it would be a disadvantage to be that far back. How wrong we were. So, for you, being basketball, what are some of the teams you root for? You said Dodgers, right?
Yeah, I'm a Lakers fan. My dad grew up, so my dad, I told you, he was in the Air Force. He actually lived in Hawaii until he graduated high school. So he lived in Hawaii. So like a lot of the West Coast teams, you know, there's no pro teams in Honolulu. So Lakers, Raiders, Dodgers. So Lakers and Dodgers, they've been pretty good. Raiders my whole life have been pretty terrible. So can't accuse me of being a bandwagon fan. And I am. My grandpa's from Michigan. I am a Michigan guy, so I hear that every
single
day.
Same here.
Let's go, baby.
I don't think you've heard as much the last couple of years.
I know.
Right?
Yeah, everybody's been a little quiet. I just remind them, you know, it's been over 2,100 days now. So, you know, this year, again, they're like, well, this year. Well, last year I thought the same thing, too.
Yeah.
You know? That was Michigan's worst team and Ohio State's best team.
I still can't believe that one. But it happened.
I know.
We were there. We saw it.
So. I think it's a mental thing at this point.
And that's why you watch. You know, even when one team is heavily favored over the other, sometimes that's exactly the way it plays out. But, you know, you see those, like, treasures of upsets where, you know, suddenly you realize UCLA is going to beat Penn State.
I know.
Stuff like that that... That's why, and you're happy for those kids.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah. You never want to see a team be, like, just absolutely terrible. You know, these D1 athletes, their whole life have probably been winning everything. It's tough. You know, it's tough. You go to a school like UCLA, you know, big-name school. I know you're in the Big Ten. It's tough, but you don't expect to go 2-7, you know, whatever it is to start your season. So
that's that. No question about that. Well, I want to thank you, for coming on. A great way to close it out. Time always goes by quick, and tomorrow we're going to talk track with Mark Bruns, cross country with Marty Shaneher, family and consumer sciences with Lori Ramo, Paul Dingledine, girls soccer. Karen Wenning will come on and talk about the D.C. trip, and then Mike Etzler will be here talking volleyball. I tell you what, it always goes by quick when we're here. Thank you to TNT Auto, Schmiedemann Construction and Dish Plumbing. Thank you to Lee Kieser and Brett Selhorst for their help today. So we will close it out, and we'll be back tomorrow at 11:30 on 96.7.